Today, Foreplay listeners, we are talking about the 4th of July, fireworks, bombs bursting in the air, bursting in other places as well, giving you some ideas on how to keep it hot on this hot summer holiday.
Hello again, and welcome to Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy. I'm your host, certified sex therapist Lori Watson, author of Wanting Sex Again, and blogger at Psychology Today and WebMD. And I have with me Dr. Adam Matthews, my co-host, who's a couples therapist, psychotherapist, and president of NCAMFT. Foreplay is dedicated to helping couples keep it hot. Thanks for listening. Now on to today's topic. So, 4th of July, what are you doing?
4th of July, I'm actually going to be in Paris.
Oh my gosh.
For the 4th of July.
Oh my gosh. You won't be
City
in America. I think that is a huge fun thing.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. We're going to be doing some fun things in Paris.
And I'll bet you there will be fireworks.
I'm sure there will be. Probably not for America, but right now. But you know, yeah. maybe for something else. But we're talking about today, wherever you are on the 4th of July, how you can create your own fireworks, if you will, even if there's none in the sky around you. Maybe there can be some in your bedroom.
Yep. So, you know, I wanted to talk about a couple, Alan and Beverly, and sort of how their 4th of July went bust. You know,
Instead
of boom.
Got it.
They had thought, okay, this is Saturday. It was when they told me the story, the 4th was on the Saturday. This time it's on like a Thursday or something. Not as fun because we may not have Friday off. But they thought, well, you know, we'll start the day off right with a little bit of sex. And their kids are outside with those cap bombs, you know, the rockets that you throw them up in the air and they're weighted. Mm-hmm. And there's a cap in them and then they smash. And of course, the neighbors are calling and angry and saying, you know, make your kids stop that. So they get up, no sex. They try to make breakfast, but his wife is all stressed out. Beverly's completely stressed out over all the neighbors coming over, and she's got to get the house clean, and she's yelling at him, you know, you got to get the yard done, and what about the mosquito spray? And there's just all this stuff going on, and he's like, okay, sex is not going to happen this morning, and so he goes out to mow the lawn, and now he's in a bad mood. You know, she's like, why in the world did you think sex would happen? You know, this is the 4th of July. It's the morning of our annual party. Are you out of your mind? We don't have any time to waste. And so, but for her, you know, once the party starts and she's had a sangria or two, she's like, okay, why isn't he putting his arms around me and complimenting me on my hot little number, little dress?
Why is he across the room talking to Fred and Bob?
Yeah. And he's like pissed off thinking, okay, she's rejected me, you know, doesn't want me. And she's now thinking he's rejecting me. And this is the way oftentimes it goes, right? This is the 4th of July. It's supposed to be a great, fun day. And instead...
And my guess is by the end of the night, they both had a little too much to drink. They both kind of built up some resentments toward each other. And then they're fighting.
They're fighting. And they're exhausted. Mm. And when he goes to put his arms around her during the fireworks, she thinks, don't touch me. I'm too hot and sticky and I'm too mad at you. You didn't pay any attention to me all day long. You were just with your buddies and friends. And okay, if this was your 4th of July, we feel for you, but we want to make it better. We want to help you make it truly hot.
Absolutely.
And exciting. So first of all, discuss whether or not sex can happen on the 4th of July. My vote is yes.
I mean, is your vote ever no? Your vote is never no. But I agree. It should. Let's vote yes.
I came home very late last night, about 2:30 after my plane flight, and my vote was no. So yeah, everyone's in a blue moon.
A blue moon. But it's how many people would this save? I think that's such a great tip because so many people don't do that. Where they just talk ahead of time about what their expectations are going to be, especially on a day where there's lots of plans and commitments that they're trying to make, right?
Yeah. So if it's, you know, if you get Friday off this year, maybe Friday is the day you have sex and you park the kids who are exhausted in front of the television, or you go out for coffee or something and come back and take a little morning snoozy boozy and do the wild thing. But, yes. You know, so maybe it doesn't happen on the day of the big party, but...
But discussing it ahead of time...
Yeah, saves
hurt
feelings.
Can be great, yeah.
Yeah, saves from rejection. And so I think that two things are important for exciting sex, and that's fantasy and seduction. And fantasy is obviously something that we do on the inside, and seduction is something that is outward focused, right? It's something that we do with our partner or for our partner. Mm-hmm. So, you know, fantasy to me is a bridge. It's an internal bridge from one feeling state into another.
Can you tell me what you mean by feeling state, Lori?
Yeah, so I mean, one feeling state I have is I'm freaking busy running around for the neighbors and I'm exhausted. Right. Now, how do I bring that feeling state of preoccupation with my tasks into a feeling state where I'm open, vulnerable to my partner and to making love? Well, I think fantasy is the bridge. You know, and so how do I do that in the middle of my day? I mean, actually, when we're dating, we do it all the time. We do it all day long, right? Yeah. When we're at a party, it's so exciting because he's there. You know, the guy is there, the special guy is there, and we can't stop thinking about it, and we imagine all kinds of things. And so we can actually do that consciously about our partner. We can go, oh, man, you know, I can hardly wait. And we can prepare a little bit, which is both internally and maybe part of the seduction. You know, maybe you choose something you're going to wear that night, or you choose how you're going to look that day to turn your partner on. You know, it's a combination, you know. So the one is, I would say, the fantasy might be changing from being absorbed in our family to putting a barrier around when you're going to go to bed that night. Okay, after fireworks are over, you know, the kids go to bed without a bath. You know, everybody just jumps in bed and that's it. And mom and dad's door closes.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
I was just going to say, because fantasy is really the story you tell yourself about what's going to happen.
Yes.
And sharing that in some way with your partner becomes important as well, right?
It's the narrative.
Yeah.
It's an internal narrative, but it's also about what you imagine your partner is thinking. And so for women particularly, what they imagine their partner is thinking is a huge turn on.
Yeah.
If they think he's thinking she's desirable and hot and sexy and, you know, all that, even if he isn't thinking that, if she just imagines that he's thinking that. And that's where we need to refocus on our partner's more positive, sexy qualities. You know, I know my partner has a turn of the phrase that can be funny. I got to say, my husband is funny. He always says that's what saved our marriage, and I think I agree. That is what saved our marriage.
Yeah, and with fantasy, fantasy can't buy itself, right? It's got to have seduction there as well.
Yeah, and seduction, you know, is what? You know, sharing it with our partner. So maybe it's coming by and a quick pat on the butt, you know?
If you like that kind of thing.
If you like that kind of thing. Maybe it's, you know, asking your partner, God willing, you have 40 minutes for a nap and, you know, you can put the kids down or just take some time out before the party and get a little bit of rest and, you know, think about what might happen later on in that evening.
Yeah. It seems to me like, too, part of the seduction in this case might be that they're doing some of the work together for the party, that they're with each other. That where they can't, they both feel supported so that they can share those, share the fantasies that they're having with each other, right? And that may be part of the seduction as well.
Although, Adam, I got to say, I'm a bitch before a party. I just, sorry, but I am not wonderful to be around before the party. Once the party starts, then
but
I'm good.
If your husband is not doing what you're asking him to do and helping out in a way that you think is appropriate, is it, you get bitchier or you get less bitchy?
No, I get bitchier, of course.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. And it's like, even you could be that way around when you're party planning. Somebody could be high tension, but if your partner's not supporting you, you're going to be way less likely to come to then reach out and share your what you want in the relationship and from the fantasy wise with him.
Exactly. So I mean, I think some of seduction is admiring your partner, right, about what they do, right, the refocus. One of the ways technically I do refocus is I write a list down and we kind of cross it off as we go along, or we initial, you know, I've done this, I've done that. And then so everybody's expectations are clear, mine and his are clear. But I think admiring, say, you know, he helps the kids with their bikes and before the big bike parade, and that was awesome. Or maybe if you say something in front of your family and friends about how great she is and how she pulled this thing together and how hard she's been working, that kind of sharing of your admiration is really sexy. And it's something that people have a need, right? They have a need to be admired.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so meeting that need is helpful.
Yeah, for sure.
I would say also, how about flirting? I mean, a party is a perfect time to flirt a little bit, compliment, maybe notice that your partner needs a drink or a chair, or they've been on their feet all day, or, you know, getting them that and really being chivalrous or attentive. That can be really fun and sexy, or maybe pulling them down on your lap and saying, you know, hey, baby, take a load off. Come sit with me.
I think when we're talking about kind of the expectations too, I think couples, if they haven't ever had this conversation about what they like at a party, what they like, how they like to stay connected at a party, I think is really important. Party behavior, I've had a lot of couples that have fought over how they feel like their partner was either ignoring them or flirting with somebody else.
Let's not do that on the fourth.
Yeah, like what do you enjoy doing during a party, and then go do that together. Like attack the party together, not as two individuals, but as a team. Going, how are we going to enjoy ourselves here? Mm-hmm. What are we going to do to stay connected throughout the party? I think that's important as well.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing I hear is that the maybe socially more distant party feels anxious about the party. Mm-hmm. Maybe you didn't host it. Maybe you're just going to it. And then when your extroverted partner goes off and starts talking to everybody and you're like, okay, I don't know these people. I don't want to know these people. And you left me alone all by myself all night. Mm-hmm. That can be a downer. So definitely a decision and a talk about that. But I would say that in terms of seduction, maybe think about, you know, how you're presenting yourself that day. I mean, it is hot. Maybe showing a little cleavage, you know, that's the time for the shorts that, you know, show off your backside, gentlemen, or, you know, something that pay attention to the way you look. This is not the day for scruffy shorts and the old T-shirt. It's like, go ahead and dress it up a little bit so that your partner knows you've put an effort into the way you're looking. I think that's awesome if you will do that for each other.
So, you know, get out the fancy clothes.
Get out the fancy clothes.
Okay. Awesome.
So we want to remind all of you that we are thankful for the way you've shared the podcast. We continue to grow. It is our greatest honor when you share with a friend the work that we're doing in trying to help people reframe their sexual life in a way that is understandable and not so mysterious, so that they can make positive changes and strengthen their marriages and their partnerships. And I think the last thing we'd like to say is both of us are doing intensives. Our summer schedules are getting filled up. So if you would like to work with us, let us know and call our centers. You can find us at foreplayradiosextherapy.com.
And if you like what we're doing and want to help support us, we'd love for you to rate and review us on iTunes and be super helpful for us. So thanks for listening. All right, we're talking about the 4th of July and how to have fireworks in the bedroom as well as fireworks in the sky. So we have some practical considerations, Lori, that you've talked about that I think can be really helpful for people.
Yes.
As they're just thinking through. We talked a few about those in the first half, but there's some more that specifically relate to the 4th that could be really helpful for folks.
So my husband on big holidays likes to save his calories for the evening, but that means he goes through the day grumpy. So I would say eat at regular times, maybe just a little bit less, so that you're not hangry, because hangry people do not get sex that night.
That's right. You're not yourself when you're hangry.
You're not yourself. I would also say maybe plan to include some rest in that busy day. Like block out just, even if it's 20 minutes to sit on the couch together, just plan a minute to yourself.
Yeah, and that's, I think that most people, in our day, in this time, like we're so rushed on holidays. Holidays also are supposed to be about rest. That's the reason that we take them.
Yeah.
So if you're not getting any rest, you're missing an important part of that holiday that also is going to help keep you connected to each other.
I know. I'm so excited. My neighbor's throwing the party this year.
There you go.
I just get to go attend. There's going to be food trucks, a bonfire. It's going to be so cool.
Wow.
The whole neighborhood's coming.
That's
all
awesome.
My friends. It'll be really great.
That sounds like a good 4th. Did I mention that I'm going to be in Paris on the 4th of July?
A little bit. Rub it in. Okay, so wear something underneath your clothes that makes you feel sexy. Hanky-panky G-strings actually are the one G-string that doesn't hurt. You might want to try that, or you might want to wear nothing under that sundress, and just be careful when you sit down and cross your legs. And whisper to him at some point, you know, there's nothing underneath here. That could be very sexy.
Mm. So also other things that you can do, set the mood before you leave the bedroom. Having candles ready to light, making sure it's clean. Nobody really wants to have sex in a dirty bedroom.
Uh-uh.
Lay out the lingerie to remind yourself. Better yet, pick it out together. Just build it around that, whatever the fantasy is, build it into the room before you leave. Keep the door shut. If you're hosting the party, you know, lock the door so others can't get in and see what's going on in here. That might be embarrassing for you.
Right.
But setting that mood before you leave, again, that's just laying out that fantasy, right, about what's going to happen later on, and you both being on the same page about that.
So I think this is also the night to have some fun. I recommend a flavored lubricant for oral sex.
Nice.
That can be really great.
Yes.
You know,
a blowjob on the 4th of July is,
is a must.
Excellent. It's a must. It's a must.
All right. That spurting and bombs bursting and all that stuff, right?
Yes. Yes. I don't know how I feel about the word spurting that you just threw out there, but I'll go I'll go with bursting in midair. How about that?
Okay. That could be really great.
That could be great. All right. And be ready for with a warm response when the party starts and everybody's mood improves, right?
Exactly.
I think that's the key. When you're talking about that bridge going from one to the other, of when the party starts, like that's the time to be in a good mood, right? If you're really tense getting ready for the party, like just remind yourself to shift and kind of relax when the party starts.
Yeah. So I'm
and share that
I'm
with
the,
each other.
I'm the bitch when we are getting ready for a party. My husband is the grouch. You know, that's pejorative, right? It's like there's no real good word for him. He's the bitch when we're getting ready to travel.
Okay.
Like, oh my gosh, he's so cranky. And I literally told myself on our last trip, you know, okay, oh, that's right, you're doing your before the travel thing. And I said, I'm just going to forgive you right now because I know as soon as we get in the car, it's going to be better. I did. I said that to him. I said, oh, yeah, that's right. And I will say that I have improved over time. Christmas is not as bad as it used to be. You know, I don't alienate everybody.
Well,
and the
good.
4th of July actually is, you know, is funner for me. Christmas is more pressure. So forgive yourself. Have the warm response. Get ready for that to reconnect. And that is a way to share the seduction. Okay.
I love this one, too, of when if you're throwing the party, when your guests start to arrive and they ask, how can I help? Have stuff for them to do. Don't just say nothing. You know, give them something that they can do, just to, even if it takes one of those to-do list items off of your plate. Then there's just more stress-free. People are wanting to help and everybody's having a good time helping make that party happen.
And, you know, my mother taught me this. She said that when people are coming to a party, they're often anxious, and making them busy and giving them something to do allows them to relax.
Yeah.
Because they don't have to necessarily mingle yet, but they get to be in action and participating in a way that is helpful. Mm. So it's actually a favor. Don't think that you have to have everything ready, which would be impossible in my life to have everything ready before everybody gets there. I just... I don't do that at a party. You know, there's always 6 things that need to be still done. Move the chairs, bring up the table, cut the lettuce.
Because if you're playing host,
the grill.
If you're playing host or hostess and you're busy the whole night doing everything, you're not going to have anything left at the end of the night, right?
Right.
Your energy is going to be lower. You're not going to be as likely to, you're just going to want to fall into bed rather than actually light those candles and put on that lingerie that you've already laid out to be sexy with each other. So yeah. it's going to be hard if you spent all your energy throwing a party.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think sometimes you need maybe a way to inject some eroticism into your own mind. If you're busy, menopausal, 6 children, 2 jobs, whatever. So I say, you know, how do you do that? Is it you plan to watch a sexy movie together that evening after everybody goes home, or you spend some of your downtime that weekend reading an erotic book that's exciting so that your mind is just kind of geared that way? Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes we need to focus and we need some way to think about it and inject that into our ordinary lives. So be intentional about that.
Absolutely. And I think that the more you have had those discussions about whether I think some people, like you were saying before, some people just hate parties, mm-hmm. right? And so you have to be okay with that. If one of you hates parties and one of you likes giving parties and you find yourself at odds about that, there is a way to compromise in the middle of that. And that part of it is accepting that, okay, you don't like parties, I do. It's okay that you don't like them. You don't have to act exactly like I am acting. You don't have to do exactly what I'm doing at a party for us to be on the same page.
Mm-hmm. Do you like parties?
I like parties with people that I know. If there's a room full of people that I don't know, or if over half of the people I don't know, then I start to feel really uncomfortable and I become a wallflower.
I'm inviting you to my birthday party this year.
I do know. It's on my calendar.
There's going to be like 60 people that you don't know.
Yes, I'm just telling you, like, don't expect me to be the life of that party.
Dude.
I'm the life of parties where I know everyone and I feel super comfortable.
And maybe you've had enough wine?
It would depend. It would depend on whether that's okay, I feel like everybody's judging me or not, you know. Yeah. As long as, I don't know, do you have other friends non-judgmental friends?
They are old friends, Adam. You're going to be the youngest person in the room and they will not judge you.
Okay.
They are going to be having the time of their life.
They go to bed by like 4:30, 5:00? Is that what's going to happen?
No. Hell no. No, we're going to stay up and party all night, but we will. Okay.
Last tip of the day
is wink at your partner. Somehow during the 4th of July, find a way to look at your partner across the room, give them that sexy grin and that wink, and hopefully follow through with that evening.
Absolutely. So may your 4th of July be filled with lots of fireworks, lots of sex, lots of explosions, lots of things going off. So we wish you well. Happy 4th, everybody.
You can now call in your questions to the 4Play question voicemail. Dial 833-MY-4Play. That's 833-4-PLAY. And we'll use the questions for our mailbag episodes.
Hey, help us stay on top here at 4Play. We'd love it if you would subscribe and share it with your friends. And please take 1 sec and rate and review us. Thanks so much.
All content is for entertainment purposes only and should not be considered as a substitute for therapy by a licensed clinician or as medical advice from a doctor.